So to begin with, this is the talk for IIS Express for web developers. And my name is Robert Murray. I'm a program manager with Microsoft Corporation. So very quickly, show of hands, anyone using IIS Express 7.5 currently? A smattering of hands. So who had not heard of IIS Express before coming to this tech ed? Oh, okay, cool. Well, there's a lot of good introduction stuff in here, so it's a good place to start off from. So let's talk about what we're going to talk about today. So first of all, we're just going to give an overview of IIS Express, and I'll talk about some of the IIS Express capabilities, and we'll talk about the future of IIS Express. And the main takeaways that we want you to have from here is just basically that IIS Express gives you a bunch of features that you didn't have as a developer in the past, and it enables a bunch of features that you normally wouldn't have had on a down-level platform. We're giving them to you, actually. Like, so if you're in a client, you get a lot of the server features out of it. So just as an agenda for the way we're going to go through things today, we're going to talk about the past, present, and future of IIS Express, and then I'll do a whole bunch of demos, and demos are always good. And the best part about the demos today is I'm doing them all on my boss's machine. He doesn't know that I snuck out of the office with it, so it's really great. So he'll see the video later, and he can get mad at me then. So next, we'll talk about some of the IIS Express architecture, and then last, we'll go over kind of some tips and tricks, and then I've got some slides in here where I talk about some of the new features that are coming out just in IIS 8, and we had a session yesterday on IIS 8, and I'll be doing another session tomorrow on it. So I'm just going to kind of talk about some of the things that you can look forward to there. So first of all, let's talk about what we had in the past. So as most people are aware, we just had these three different things. We had the ASP.NET development server, otherwise known as Cassini. We had full IIS, and then we had hosted web core. And let's actually just take a look at each one of these in the past. So first of all, we had Cassini. And the great thing about Cassini is that it was simple, it was lightweight, you didn't have to be an administrator. Of course, the downside is it didn't support all of the features, and it wasn't really extendable. There wasn't a whole lot you could do from that. And then as you were writing code, it didn't really target your end platform that well. So then we also had full IIS, and full IIS was great. Of course, it you know, if you were on Windows 7 and you wrote an application for Windows 7 and then you published it to a Windows Server 2008 or 2008 R2 box, then you had a pretty good set of feature parity. The unfortunate downside to that is more often than not, you had to be an administrator on the box in order to do things like some of the debugging and things like that. So there were some downsides to it. And the last was this thing we had called hosted web core. Now, who in here has actually ever heard of hosted web core before? Anyone? Oh, I think one person maybe has heard of hosted web core. Hosted web core it's a way that you can host the core of IIS in your own executable. So this is actually a screenshot from an article that's available out on MSDN. So if anyone feels really curious, there's actually an SDK sample out there. You can download the code from that, and then you can actually play around with it, writing an executable that hosts IIS yourself. And then there's some caveats that work with that. The downside, of course, to hosted web cores, it meant that you had to write an awful lot of custom code. You had to write an executable that could host this DLL that then would turn around and host the core of IIS for you. So there was a fair amount of work in there. So this, of course, was a great reason why we needed to come up with something that worked, which easier for everyone, and that was IIS Express. And this is how the whole idea came about. A really interesting thing about these slides, as a quick aside, is they look like Monopoly cards, don't they? Like, anyways, somebody could probably say which cities those are actually for. It'd probably be Boardwalk on the right there, but. And Marvin Gardens on the left. There you go. So, so the great thing about it is that IIS Express kind of gives you a little bit of everything that you were getting in the past between all of these different things, and it puts it all together. So, of course, it's going to better match the full set of IIS because it really is like a miniature version of IIS that you're running on your box. And it doesn't require admin privileges, so that's great. It's a really small download, so if you were going and getting it from something like a web platform installer, which we'll take a look at in a little bit, it's smaller than 6 megabytes in size to download, and it doesn't require administrator privileges, as I mentioned. So, and it's available in the client operating systems. The great thing about this is that you could take IIS Express, so take, for example, the current release version is IIS Express 7.5. You can download that, and you can run it on Windows XP. So if you're running Windows XP, you can still write applications, you can turn around and you can publish them up to IIS 7.5, and you can still do things like write a native module, one of these things that you just wouldn't have been able to do with Cassini in the past. So you can actually use it side by side with full IIS, and it is a web server that you can actually run on a home edition. So those are kind of some nice features in there. So let's talk about the different supported operating systems that that you can use IIS Express with. So when you're looking at IIS Express 7.5, we support all these different versions of Windows. And so you notice we support everything from the latest shipping versions, Windows 7 and Windows Server 2008 R2, all the way down to Windows XP. As far as developer suites, if you're running Visual Studio 2010 SP1 or later, then we actually have built-in integration for IIS Express. Now, it does not ship IIS Express, of course, with Visual Studio 2010 because it shipped later. What it means is that if you install IIS Express on your system and you have 2010 SP1, then it will actually detect that IIS Express is there, and then it gives you some other choices when you're working with your application. And I'll actually demo that in a little bit. And then there's also Web Matrix. So actually, one of the very first iterations early on of IIS Express is it was actually shipping at the same time as Web Matrix. We did that real early on in a beta, and customers came out and spoke resoundingly. I just want IIS Express, so just give us a separate standalone. So we did that. But you can still use it with Web Matrix, and they work really well together. So you guys remember Goldilocks and the Three Bears, right? So it's kind of what we're looking at here. So you know, you can kind of think about, you know, maybe one web server is too big, maybe one server is too small, and we like to think on our team that IIS Express is just right, where that went right in the middle. Of course, just the other teams would like very much if we don't think of, have you think of their web server products as this. Don't think of Cassini as the teddy bear, and don't think of full IIS as the too big. So, and then the one point that I'd like to also mention here is that IIS Express is not a replacement for IIS. It is not designed for doing production web hosting. It is flat out a development server, and that is what it should stay to. And when we get into the architecture, we'll actually talk about some of the reasons why you kind of want to keep that in mind. So, I'm not going to bother to try to read this slide to you. You guys can look at the slides later, but there's just a whole lot of features that you get with IIS Express that you don't get when you're using Cassini. So there's just an awful lot of stuff. And once again, all of these are features that ship with the full version of IIS. It's just really nice that we build them into this nice small web server so that you know you can actually work with them and test with them. And you get this design fidelity with your actual published website that way. So let's talk about IIS Express in the future. So there's actually a version of IIS 8 Express in the works, and that is based off the IIS 8 code base. So has anyone downloaded and played with the IIS Express 8 beta? Anyone? No? So anyone here grab the release candidate for Visual Studio 2012 yet? Anyone install it? Well, secretly behind the scenes, you actually got IIS Express 8. So we are actually the default development platform inside. You still get Cassini, but now we actually default to IIS Express. So that's great. So let's talk about some of the great features that we have in IIS 8 Express. First of all, x64-bit support. A lot of customers wanted to write 64-bit apps. IIS Express 7.5 was only a 32-bit app. So we now have it both 64-bit and 32-bit. And the way that we do this is they install into the program files directories for either bitness version. So you can write an actual full 64-bit application. We share all our binaries with IIS 8, or as many as possible. So in the earlier version of IIS Express, there were some DLLs that were actually created a little more for IIS Express. They did a few things differently because of that. And coming forward into this version, we're like, no, we want it to match as much as possible. And so they are actually shipping. Almost all of the binaries are identical between full IIS and IIS Express. And there's some nice things that come out of that, too. Like if anyone used IIS 7.5 Express, there were a couple of the HTTP error messages, for example, were a little different. So if you were missing a home page, instead of returning an HTTP 403 like you were expecting, it was returning a 404 with a status code signifying. And we just decided, no, that's just going to confuse people. So we went ahead and we made it, like I said, so as much as possible, they're going to be identical. And then there's a couple of neat features that we added in here. There were actually, these were asked by partner teams and by customers. And actually, they were really great ideas. We thought, wow, that's a great idea. Wish we'd have thought of that. So first of all is changing the user home directory. So as we'll take a look at in a little bit, the default home directory for IIS Express for storing your web files, your configuration and stuff, is actually under user profile, under your documents directory. And that's because it is a user mode application, and we're storing the files where you would normally find your documents. But you can actually change it. So there's a command line switch that you can pass to it that will just change it. So if you were starting IIS Express from a batch file, let's say, you could specify an alternate location. Or there's also a registry switch that we support. And the other one is we have the ability to use our app command to modify other application host.config files. So anyone here use app command to do any management? Not a whole lot of people, but I'll actually do a demo on it later, and you'll see actually what it's used for. But yes, starting with IIS Express 8, you can start using app command to edit a application host.config file somewhere else in your box. That was such a great feature, we decided to build it in for full IIS 8. So let's talk about the supported platforms for IIS Express. So first of all, you will notice the conspicuous absence of Windows XP. And that's because it's an old operating system, so we did not make that a design consideration for it. You are still welcome to use IIS Express 7.5 with Windows XP because it is supported with that. And once again, the developer suites are the same. And as I mentioned a moment ago, for Visual Studio 2012, when you install that, you actually get IIS 8 Express in the process, and it's built in. So with that, let's actually take a look at some of the different things with IIS Express. So let's switch over to my demo machine here. You guys see that? Yeah, good. Okay, so the first thing I want to show here is I'm going to show Web Platform Installer. So has anyone here ever used Web Platform Installer? Anyone? Is anyone here tired of me making you raise your hand every few minutes? Okay, we'll work with that. Is anyone here never want to raise their hand no matter what question I ask? Ah, the gentleman in the back. Okay. So this is the Web Platform Installer, and this is a great way to get features for IIS. So it's also fantastic for third-party applications. So we worked with an awful lot of partners, and so for those of you who aren't familiar with it, if you wanted a WordPress site on your IIS box, you can just go to Web Platform Installer, say, I want WordPress. This will install everything it takes to get WordPress working on your website, to include installing PHP, installing the MySQL database server, setting up all your settings for you, and copying all the files into your directory. You cannot get much easier than installing something with the Web Platform Installer. This is its whole purpose in life. So it's actually one of the ways that you can get IIS Express. So if you just go in here and you say, I want to search for IIS Express, and there's several different things in here that actually have a dependency on it, so it'll actually pick that up. But you'll notice that we actually show in here the IIS 8 Express beta, and we also show IIS 7.5 Express, and then you could just choose to install one of those. These are great. It runs the installer. It puts things in the right place. If there are dependencies, as I mentioned, it's very dependency aware, and that's the way that you can go install, like, let's say, some of these third-party applications and make sure that you have everything that you need to get that application up and working on your system. So that's Web Platform Installer, which is great. And I'll actually show the URL later where to get that. You just actually go to microsoft.com/web. It's very easy to find. So with that in mind, let's actually take a look at some of the different files and folders and directories and things like that that you have in here. Now, first of all, this machine is actually running Windows Server 2012, and so it is also running Visual Studio 2012. And so because of that, I already have IIS 8 Express on here. So most of the things are going to be fairly similar between IIS 7.5 Express and IIS 8 Express, with the exception of the fact that I have a 64-bit installation as well. So if I go into my program files x86 directory, you'll notice this IIS Express directory, and I have all the localized files on here. But we have just a whole bunch of files in here. And if I actually filter that down to file extensions, to application, you just see the IIS Express .exe. And this is pretty much, think of it a lot the same as the w3wp.exe, which is our worker process that you get with full IIS. So that's all you have there. So that's pretty straightforward. And as I mentioned a moment ago, we have that same directory under the 64-bit program files directory, so you can run either version. Then let's also take a look at what actually gets put under your user profile. So under your My Documents folder, first of all, you have My Websites. This has been around for a while, and you get your website one directory, and this is actually something that WebMatrix and some other applications work with by default, but you also get this IIS Express directory. And the IIS Express directory in this case is going to store a lot of the files that normally would be stored under System32 INET SRV if you were using the full version of IIS. And by that, I mean your config files. So these config files are actually fairly similar to what you see for full IIS. So if I go ahead and grab this config file for application host.config, and I bring that up inside Visual Studio here, so the file is very, very similar for those of you who've actually been working with IIS in the past. So for those of you who aren't familiar with application host.config, I'm not going to go through here line by line, so don't worry about it. I'm not going to put anybody to sleep at this point. But it's actually a very human-readable version of XML, and so you'll find things in here like your collection of application pools, And then down here, you'll find things like your collection of sites. And so as I add a new website, it'll actually just get added to this file. So, but because this is kept under my user profile, I don't need to be an administrator in order to access it. Unlike with full IIS, since it is kept under System 32, you do have to be an admin in order to make changes to it. So with that in mind, let me actually open up WebMatrix at this point. Any WebMatrix users? Anyone? It's a good app. It's fun to write code with. If you're really into, I freely admit, I am a geek. I write an awful lot of code. And I like WebMatrix for that fact. And the fact that it works really well with IIS Express gives me bragging rights. So at this point, what I've done is in WebMatrix, I've opened up that website 1 directory that you saw. And website 1, you should think of as the WebMatrix equivalent and the IIS Express equivalent of default website that you get with full IIS. So you have the different things in here. And the first thing I need to show is, you know, you have your settings. So IIS Express by itself doesn't really have an administrative interface, but you can administrate it through its partner programs. So in this particular case, you can add and make changes to IIS Express simply through the WebMatrix interface through in here. I could do things like, you know, pick the CLR version for the application that I'm working with. I could enable PHP. And actually, if I click that I wanted to enable PHP, this would actually go out and want to invoke all of the dependencies in order to make PHP work on this system. I'll actually do a PHP demo in a little bit, but I'm just going to deploy it with a batch file because this box actually isn't connected to the network at the moment. So also in here, you see like the list of all the files. And this is actually kind of neat because what I'm actually doing here is show one of the features that you get with IIS Express that you wouldn't get with Cassini, and that's our failed request tracing logs. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new file, and I'm going to go in here and create a classic ASP page. And this page comes up, and what I'm going to do here is drop in a very quick line of code. And what I'm going to do with this is I'm going to attempt to create an object that does not exist on my system. All right. So if I save this and I browse to this page, pardon me? That's actually okay. It works for the demo. But thanks very much. So what I actually wanted to show, though, is that when I go and I take a look at my trace log files, so I get a log file created, and this is the failed request tracing that you actually get inside full IIS. You don't get this in Cassini, but it's great that you get it inside IIS Express. So right here you see I have this trace, and it's telling me what's going on, and if I click View Trace, even though I completely misspelled the API, that was actually kind of the goal of this demo, as I was going to try to make something fail. So this actually, in failed request tracing, takes you exactly to the line of the failure with a whole lot of detailed information. And I used to like demoing this when I was demoing the full version of IIS because the way I used to present it, so, okay, how many people in here are developers? Important question here. Holy cow, almost the entire room. Okay, so no offense meant, but I once did a demo for a bunch of IT pros, and I said, have you ever had it where somebody's uploading code to your website, and they swear that their code's fine, and then you, of course, realize that there's something failing, and they can't tell you what? Well, if you enable failed request tracing, then the error just happens, and you can go back and check the logs later, so which is really kind of nice. And it also works for you from a development point of view because you can just, you know, you have all the failed request tracing, and you don't even have to worry about it. So with full IIS, it's an opt-in process, but for IIS Express, we actually enable it out of the box. So you can actually go back, and when a failure happens, you can go take a look at the logs, and it'll help you troubleshoot and get down into not quite debug-level information, but it will give you a bunch of information about what's going on. So that's failed request tracing. So next, let's actually take a look at some of the Visual Studio experience. So first things first, I'm going to go ahead and open up Visual Studio 2010 SP1, and I'm going to say I want to create a new website. And it's coming up here, and let me make sure that I get a website name that hasn't existed before. So let's call this website 20. That's fine, and an ASP.NET website's fine. So this opens up my application, and where's my solution? There we go. So since this is SP1, once I open up my website, you'll notice that I get this menu item in here that says Use IIS Express. And if I click this, it's going to say that it's going to reconfigure the website to work with IIS Express. I say yes, and it gives me this information. And now this website actually will be browsed to on IIS Express at that port number. And if I switch back to my application host, .config, you'll notice that it just added that website with that extra piece of configuration for the binding. So that's all it takes to actually convert a website in SP1 over to working with IIS Express. Right-click, say you want to make it IIS Express, say yes to the prompt, and that's it. The good stuff that you get out of this is that when you actually bring up the properties, is that you can actually make some changes inside here. So you can actually do things like enable anonymous authentication or Windows authentication. You can actually enable SSL on here. So if you wanted to actually test SSL on here, I can say yes. It tells me the URL in there, and if I go back to my application host, you'll notice that it just added an SSL binding. So I can turn around and do it. It just uses self-signed cert in order to do the development work. So let's actually take a look at the difference with Visual Studio 2012. Very, very similar. And let me say new and website. And let's call this website 30. That's fine. And I'm just going to do an empty website here. And it's creating the website. And once that's done, I can come up here. And if I bring up my my menus here, you notice it's already going to default to IIS Express. So it gives me the choice to switch back to Cassini if I want to. But it did default to IIS Express. And there's actually, under your options, for both 2010 and 2012, there is actually a setting in here inside your options to specify what the default web server will be. So in here, it's checked by default in 2012. SP1, you can check it, and it'll just default to that in the future. So let's actually take a quick look at breaking things, because I like to break things. So let me pull up a new web page here. Web form's fine. And this should create the page here. There we go. And what I'm going to do here, you guys can all read that code, okay? Yes? Yes? Okay. I don't see anybody shaking their head, no. Okay, so first thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to create a script block. And let me just put in a quick for int I equals 1. And then I is less than 5. And I always talk to myself as I type. And response.write. And this is probably one of the first classic ASP examples that everybody saw years ago, but resurrected for you today just because it's a good day to do it. If I could just type correctly. Remember I mentioned this is my boss's machine? I'm not quite used to his keyboard. And I'm sure somewhere, if he knew that at the moment, he'd be laughing. All right, so let's close that tag. And, I left out a plus there. All right, so with that in there, let's do a response.flush. That was supposed to be a flush. All right, straightforward code. And what I'm going to do now is just simply drop a breakpoint on here. So, and we're at 5. So first thing it's going to do is say, do I want to enable web debugging? Yes, I do. This is a local machine, so I have no problems doing that. So starting up the application, and it drops right into the debugger. So this is great because now I can step through the debugger. I mean, I realize you could do this with Cassini in the past, but just showing you that it still actually does work. And because I'm doing the response.flush on a line-by-line basis, I can actually step through the code. So, and just showing you that it just keeps dumping that out. So that's the design experience for Visual Studio 2010, SP1, and 2012. So very, very similar. So let me go ahead and exit out of there. And with that, let me switch back to the PowerPoint machine. Okay, so what we looked at there is a lot of different things. Obviously, we looked at the web platform installer you guys have seen, and like I mentioned, you can get that from microsoft.com/web, and I said that I would actually show you that page. So here's the actual download page. If you browse to the microsoft.com/web website, then you can follow the links to get started, and you'll find the web platform installer. So we also talked about I showed some of the files and directories that IIS Express uses. Remember, of course, that it puts things under your user profile. And then I also showed what it looks like in Web Matrix Visual Studio, and I showed you failed request tracing. So that's it for a recap. So let's talk about some of the architecture. So when you take a look at the full version of IIS, this is a very scaled down model of some of the things that are going on. So you'll notice in here that we have all of our configuration files. You know, you've got all your machine and your application host.config files. So, and we have the service host that hosts all of our process recycling and features like that. And one thing that I always like to call out with this slide is the small pipeline that you see going on in that slide, that's not a complete pipeline. I had somebody one time actually ask me, you know, how come you're like missing the such and such event? So I'm just pointing out it's not a full list that wouldn't have fit on this slide. So in any event, and of course, inside our worker processes, these W3WP processes, then you know we can run all of our different things. You know, the static file handler, obviously, as we're showing in here, in PHP engines, and things like that. So, and then of course, everything comes in through the HTTP .sys kernel mode. And with IIS Express, it's somewhat similar, except we take the service host out of it, and so you lose that web application service. So IIS Express, as I mentioned before, user mode process runs in your user context, and so you don't have any of that great full set of server features that are you know going to keep your site up and whatever else. If IIS Express goes down for some reason, I mean it's just going down on your box, and you don't have to worry about you know losing money from a full website. So as I mentioned, it's very similar, but it's also you don't have any of the service process recycling information that you would work with the full version. So differences between full IIS and IIS Express. So as I mentioned a second ago, there's no process recycling, and it is a user mode application and obviously not a service. So one of the big differences that we did with IIS Express is we shipped the URL rewriter built in. So is anyone using our URL rewriter for any projects? A handful of people. Well, there were a few key scenarios and primary drivers for having URL rewrite in the actual IIS Express product from the outset. And that's that some of those partner applications that we were working with really needed to work with the URL rewriter. For example, WordPress comes to mind. You know, there's a lot of, you know, Web 2.0 friendly applications that are out there. And so because of that, a lot of people were installing our URL rewriter, and it's easier actually just to install it on your dev box. So that is actually one difference between, once again, Express and full IIS, because with full IIS, it's still an opt-in module. You have to go out and actually download it to put it on your system. So, but it's easily explainable why we do it. And next, also, we disable WebDAV in IIS Express by default. There's a couple of things to this. Now, first of all, as I mentioned before, IIS Express is not designed to be a full web server. It's a development product. And so because of that, I can't really think of a reason off the top of my head why somebody would be trying to set up the web dev service and then publishing files to their local box. Didn't make sense to me, but it's really easy to put it back in. It's just remarked out. And the other thing, of course, is you kind of have to think of things in terms of a security point of view. So web dev is another, does it expose, you know, another potential, you know, surface area for attack. So even though you might be keeping things locked down in your box, et cetera, it's just one less thing to actually have to worry about. And then last is what's becoming more and more popular these days are extensionless URL websites and a lot of RESTful services and things like that. And actually, a lot of these things are trying to steal some of the verbs that normally would be associated with WebDAV. And so one of the things that we were seeing is that we had a bunch of people running into problems who were using the put verb, which normally is reserved by WebDAV, and it wants to own that completely when it's on your box. So it was it made things actually easier just to take WebDAV out of there. So it's another difference in between the two, but probably not going to affect you too greatly. But once again, the actual lines are in the configuration. They're just remarked out. So we have some extra environment variables in our configuration. So these are actually dynamically generated. These aren't environment variables that you actually set on your system. And these are actually, they enable the fact that, they make it possible, that is, in order for some of the paths to actually change and not have to be hard-coded. And here's a perfect example. I showed you a little while ago how IIS Express had an executable underneath the 64-bit directory and the 32-bit directory. So if we were going to hard-code a path to one of the DLLs in there, then you would actually have this whole problem with bitness. Now, it is true that file system redirection does kick in when you're working with bitness or something like this, but we found it actually easier to just create our own environment variable. This is the IIS bin that you see there, and that will always expand out to wherever the IIS Express is being run from. So, and that's actually true if you actually move any of the files anywhere else. So IIS user home is will always be expanded to the path. And by default, I showed you that that's going to be under user profile, under documents, and then under IIS Express. You can, however, though, as I mentioned earlier, you can specify that on a command line switch, the IIS Express executable, or you can specify it in a registry key. And whenever you change it in one of those locations, that's what we're going to populate that with. And last is the IIS sites home, and that was that directory I showed you under the My Websites. So, and last, as I already did in the demo, failed request tracing is enabled. So let's talk about actually the different modes that you have for IIS Express. There's actually two different modes that you can run it in. So first is the personal web server mode, and this is the default mode that most people will actually use IIS Express in. So in this mode, your sites are persistent. That application host.config file that I showed you a little while ago, all of those sites get created in that app, in that file, and then they stay in that file. So if you close Visual Studio, those websites remain. You close WebMatrix, and all your websites remain, and you can come back to them later. If you go manually add a website in there by hand just by editing the XML, they obviously stay there. So and that's the path that's going to be under user profile, but there is a template for that. And I show you the path on here, and you really shouldn't edit that template, but just pointing out actually where it's coming from. And then next is the application server mode. Now, the application server mode, think about it as an IIS Express with a temp environment. What you can do is you can take IIS Express and you can just simply say that I want to run as a website just simply by pointing it at a path. So let's say somebody gives you a bunch of files and you put them on your box. You don't really want to add a full website, you know, to IIS Express or full IIS to test it out. You can just use IIS Express, give it that path switch, tell it the port you want it to run on, and it'll just run the application. So, provided that there are no dependencies, of course, that are missing on your system. But the great thing about it, though, is that it creates an application host.config on the fly. It writes it in your temp directory. And then when you're done with IIS Express, it just cleans it up. So it's a temporary web server that you can use in order to test things out. And I've actually heard people do some rather interesting things with that. So managing IIS Express. As I showed you a little while ago, you can actually manage it from inside Visual Studio. And I showed you actually what it looked like in SP1, and I showed you actually how you can edit your the properties. And then I also showed you editing it inside Visual Studio 2012. And the last thing is there actually is a system tray application that as you're actually running an IIS Express website, it's down there in the system tray, and you can right-click on it, and you can bring up this dialog, and this gives you an opportunity to actually stop all of your websites. Normally, though, whenever you're using like a client application, a partner application, something like Visual Studio, or you're running WebMatrix, something like that, when you exit those applications, it actually cleans up IIS Express for you, so you don't really need this. When this application really comes into use is if you're using IIS Express on your own. So you just go out to the command line and you run IIS Express, then it will go ahead and show all of your running websites inside this dialog. So let's actually talk about managing IIS Express by using actually the full version of IIS. So what I'm going to do here, let me switch back over to my demo machine. And let me actually close out of a couple of the windows I've got here. No, I don't want to save anything to that. And actually exit out of there. So has anyone here used the configuration editor inside full IIS? Handful of people. Okay. So one of the great things that we built in with the the ability to export scripts, which is great if you're a person who does an awful lot of automation. And I do an awful lot of automation. I write an awful lot of scripts to do a lot of various things. So So one of the things that you actually do in here is if you know the paths to some configuration settings that you want to make changes to, you can actually come in here and you can make you can actually export the script. So first thing I'm going to do here is I've got an application, and I'm going to do a longer demo with these exact same files tomorrow. So if anybody's going to my full IIS presentation tomorrow afternoon, you're going to recognize part of this demo, but tomorrow I'm going to do it on steroids. Today I'm just going to do it easy. So I actually needed to put these files in the IIS Express directory. Okay, so what this actually is this an ASP.NET application that has a 15-second startup time? It's kind of slow. Has anyone been by the IIS booth? I found out that some of my coworkers were stealing my demos and doing them in the booth. So anyways, so if some of you actually may have seen a little bit of this demo there. But so what I'm going to do now is, so I have IIS Express on this box, and I'm just going to go to my program files directory, and I want to go to IIS, and I'm just going to start IIS Express from the command line. Okay, so IIS Express is actually up and running, and I'm just going to copy that URL, and just from a command line, I'm just going to say start on it. Okay, so this is the experience that you get when you're working with a .NET application time that has a slow load time. I think everybody's probably aware of this. Everyone can probably think of a half dozen applications off the top of their head that force you to actually wait as they're doing all of their background compilation and things like that. So with starting with IIS 7.5 with an add-on module called Application Initialization, and also built into IIS 8, we have something that's called Application Initialization. And I'll actually go and show you how you can configure that. So inside the configuration editor, you have this collection of different settings that you can make in order to enable application initialization. So first thing I need to do is go add some page that needs to be invoked in order for my application to warm up. Now, I happen to know in this particular case that the page that I need to warm up the application with is startup.aspx. What this is actually configuring, is that actually aspx? Yeah, it's hard to see. Font's really small, ASPX. All right, there we go. So I know that this application is there, and so what IIS is going to do is that when a request comes in, it knows that the website is warming up, and it's going to make a mini request to this page, and in the meantime, I can specify what happens during the initialization environment. So in this particular case, I'm going to keep that file there, and I'm going to say that while it's in a startup state, I want to send all requests to an ASP page. So just because the CLR is taking a little while to start up doesn't mean that a static HTML file or a classic ASP page couldn't be returned to the client. Now, if I went ahead and clicked apply here, this is going to make these changes to the full version of IIS. But that's not actually what I'm going to do here, because I want to actually show off IIS Express. So if I click on this tab over here, this gives me the actual syntax that I need to use for app command. And for those of you who've never seen Configuration Editor before, so this actually gives you the managed C# code to make the changes that I need to make, the JavaScript code, and it also gives you the PowerShell code. The PowerShell code is new to IIS 8, so this is an IIS 8 feature that you're seeing there. So what I need to do is copy this code out of here, and I'll just put it in Notepad. Now remember I mentioned a while ago that the default website for IIS Express is not default website. It's actually website 1. So I need to make one quick change here, and let's put that to website 1. And if I go back out to a command prompt here, let's go back to program files, and let's go to, I meant to go to IIS. There we go. All right, so I just pasted those lines in there, and let me just for good measure bring down IIS Express. And do I still have a browser open? No, the browser's not open. All right, good deal. All right, so I've invoked the program again, and let's actually copy this up. And oops. There we go. All right, so this is what application initialization does for you. So instead of having to sit there and wait for that startup experience, I can actually send the user to a page immediately. And in this particular page, I've actually got a refresh on it, so you'll notice it keep flipping every once in a while. The reason why I'm doing this is because once the application warms up, I want to send them to the real page. So like I said, in the background, IIS issued a mini request to the ASP.NET page in order to warm it up. And once that application was actually up and warmed up and online, it was able to send me to my fault homepage. So Once again, this is an IIS 8 feature, and if you come to my talk tomorrow, you'll see some really cool things you can do with it in conjunction with URL rewrite. So that's the experience for managing IIS Express from the command line. And one last thing, as long as I'm over here actually on my demo machine, one of the things I want to kind of show is that it is kind of cool that you can also do other things. So if you go into the web platform installer, there is you can actually install PHP for IIS Express, and it works. And in this particular case, what I've got is I've got a very short demo that just installs PHP for here. And the reason why I'm actually installing it from here is, as I mentioned before, is because I'm actually not online. This doesn't have network connectivity, so I can't do it from there. So I just have the batch file that automates it. And just to actually show, let me exit out of there. And I'm going to bring up WebMatrix here real quickly, just because it's fast for writing PHP. And for those of you who haven't used it for PHP, it's kind of handy that way. Any PHP developers in here? Anybody writing PHP? There's a smattering of people. Okay, so if I go to my files here and I say I want to create a new file, and .php. Oh, actually, that's a HTML. Where's my PHP here? There we go. All right, so where's PHP in this list? Ah, there we go. Yep. I know it looks real big on the screen, but it's real small on mine, I'm telling you. So when you actually go into WebMatrix, you can actually get code completion for your PHP stuff, which is really kind of handy. So if I save this page out, and I say now that I want to launch in browser, so this is a very simple function that's built into PHP that just actually dumps all of your configuration information for PHP. It winds up actually being a really great test for making sure that you've got PHP installed. Works a whole lot better than a PHP hello world, believe me. So, but just to show you that I've actually got PHP actually up and working inside IIS Express. So, and there is, as I mentioned before, there is a way actually to install PHP into IIS Express through Web Platform Installer. So, and with that, let's switch back to here. So, let's talk about some of the tips and tricks for working with IIS Express. So, a rather interesting thing that you can do is, let's say that you make some changes to your application-host.config file, and you destroy it. So now you actually turn around and you try to start IIS Express from a command line and it just throws errors or something like that. There's actually a very interesting thing that you can do with IIS Express. So unlike IIS, where with full IIS, you're just in trouble until you can figure out what was actually broken with your file and repair it. With IIS Express, you can actually just simply rename the bad file and then go start IIS Express from a command line and you get an application host.config file back. Now, a very easy question that somebody would probably ask about that, well, it's like, well, what happens if I had a bunch of customizations to it? Well, some of the customizations, nothing will be preserved. First of all, it's going to go out and it's going to grab that template file that I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the different modes. So it's going to grab a template file, use that to create a new application host.config file from you. If you've gone and done a whole bunch of configuration changes to it, then you may need to use something like WinDiff or BeyondCompare or one of these tools that does a diff between the two files. But that being said, a lot of the partner applications are very aware of the fact that something has changed in the environment since the last time they worked with it. A perfect example is Visual Studio. So, and for anybody who's got IIS Express, you can try this out if you want to try me at my word. You can actually go into Visual Studio, create a new website project, go through, test it, debug it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Once you get done, go rename your application host.config file, and then open up Visual Studio again and open up that project. And what you'll see is that Visual Studio will see that, the website that I'm working with for this project is missing, and even if you don't have an application host.config file at all in your directory anymore, Visual Studio will actually create one for you, and then it will add all the settings back to your website. Now, there is one caveat to that, and that's that if you did things like add an SSL port or you change the authentication method, those settings will just be gone, but those settings are also very, very low maintenance, and it's pretty easy to add those things back in. So the experience would be If you've got a file, it gets corrupted, you can remove it, open up Visual Studio, reopen your project, you'll get a new file, make the few changes that you can make through the user interface, and then you can use some sort of a differencing tool in order to figure out any of the other customizations to put it back in there. But it does help you recover from most of that environment. I find myself actually using the recreate the file an awful lot because I do a lot of weird things with my computer. If they could talk, I cannot believe what it would call me. So configuring IIS Express, I mentioned a moment ago, you can use app command to do it. I showed you actually how to export syntax from the IIS configurator, and last you have Visual Studio, or you could actually go all the way down to using Notepad. So one of the things I mentioned before as a good power tip is don't modify the template files. As I just explained a little while ago, the template files are actually there in order to help start a new application host.config file in case you need one, or in the scenario that I just told you where you have a corrupted file and you rename it and you want to have it regenerate one, you need to make sure that those template files are there and that they're good. So it's a really good idea to not modify those and only do your per user one. So, and next, there's this actual command called IIS admin command. So as I mentioned before, IIS Express does not require admin privileges. But that being said, there are some cool things that you can do if you are actually an admin on the box. And this tool, if you are an admin, will actually enable you to do things like, you know, do some SSL bindings and actually browse to your box remotely. Now, once again, big caveat with that. Please do not host a production website on IIS Express. It's not what it's designed for. So every once in a while, I get people saying, you know, oh, this is great. Can I just put it on a flash drive and run it from my flash drive? And, you know, yes, but it's not what it's built for, and please don't host your production website on it. So, but there's this great blog here from Scott Hanselman, and he goes through and he talks about doing an awful lot of really cool stuff with SSL and IIS Express. And so rather than repeat all this information, just when you get the slide deck later, just go take a look at it. It's a great blog, and Hanselman's a great guy, and it's always funny to read his stuff. Okay, so we talked about looking at a sneak preview of IIS 8 and some of the different features. So this week we've been demoing some of these, and I just showed you application initialization a moment ago, and centralized SSL certificate support. So for those of you who haven't seen it yet, the centralized SSL certificate support is the way that we now support putting all of your certificates out on a network share. So we've supported, of course, putting your content out on a share for a long time. And starting with IIS 7, we supported putting your configuration files out on a share. So in order to bring up a new server, all you had to do was install IIS and then enable shared configuration, point it at the share, and immediately it inherits all your website. And with the centralized SSL certificate support, now you can put all your certificates out on a network share. And this means that you don't have to install your certificates to every box. So it's a really good feature. Configuration optimization, under the hood, with IIS, we made a lot of changes in IIS 8 in order to speed up the performance time, and Juan actually did a great demo of that yesterday, and so for those of you who did not catch his session, later on when they post the videos to the TechEd website, I highly recommend you take a look at it, especially for anybody in here who's doing any multi-tenant hosting. He really went through and showed how to do some great things with that. CPU throttling and dynamic IP restrictions, the next two, I'm going to talk about those both in depth tomorrow. But in case anyone can't make those shows, basically CPU throttling is when you're working with the full version of IIS, we have a way of actually throttling the amount of CPU usage that any worker process can take. And this is great because it prevents runaway applications from taking all of the resources on your box. And dynamic IP restrictions, we've had static ones in the past, and static IP restrictions meant that you had to manually go through your logs and find where somebody was trying to break in, and we now actually identify when people are trying to do things like a denial of service attack, and we can actually block them dynamically. FTP logon attempt restrictions. Anyone host an FTP site with FTP? I mean with our FTP server? A couple of hands went up. Yeah, so it's been a big ask for a long time to build in some sort of feature that prevents brute force logon attacks. So the FTP service, actually, as it turns out, with hackers, seems to be a really popular way for hackers to try to like guess your administrator password, for example. And, of course, no one should be using an administrator account in the first place. But just the same, we actually have a way of blocking them from the FTP service, and it's great because it just drops the connection. And in simply experimenting with a few boxes that I own that are out on the internet, I've noticed it's made the script kiddie attacks just go away. So multi-core scaling on NUMA hardware. So NUMA, of course, the direction that computing is going, and there's a lot of work that we did inside IIS in order to target that directly. server name indication for the way that a lot of people like to refer to that, kind of like in a shortcut method, is host headers for SSL. That's actually a complete misnomer, but it basically it allows you to get around the problem of having to have a single IP address for every SSL website on your box. So server name indication is you can, it's an extension to the TLS protocol, and it allows you to actually specify the host name, and yet you can put all of your secure sites all in that same IP address. So people have wanted that for a long time. Bit of a caveat to that, since I'm not talking about it tomorrow, I'll go ahead and talk about it here. The one thing about this is it's like, does everyone remember when host headers first came out in, like, was it 96, 97 when HTTP 1 came out? The downside to host headers when they first came out is, of course, the browsers didn't support it. I mean, the protocol supported it, but you had to wait for browsers to catch up, and then web servers kind of had to do something in the meantime. So it's the same thing with server name indication. So right now, about 70% of all browsers support it, and that is all the modern browsers. In the case of Windows, it's really not a browser restriction. It's really a platform restriction that the Windows XP can't do SNI. And that's just something that's something in the networking stack that it can't do that. So, and then last, I have on here the SSL scalability. So we used to store certificates in the My Web Store, the personal web store for the computer account, and now we actually have a web hosting store, and the reason why we do that is it's incredibly more scalable than the old My Store was, because the My Store was never really designed to hold the large number of certificates that a hosting company would do. So as I mentioned here, we have other breakout sessions that we'll talk about some of these other features with. So let's actually talk about a quick summary, what we looked at in here. We looked at the past, present, future. We looked at several of the IIS Express capabilities. We studied the architecture with it, and we talked about the different modes and looked at the future of IIS. And with that, I wanted to pull up this slide to show you our other sessions that are coming up. So as I mentioned, the top one up there was the session that Juan gave yesterday. If you missed it and you're really interested in IIS features, especially in a multi-tenant hosting, I highly recommend you watch the video later. The second talk that's listed, that's the one I'm actually doing tomorrow. So, and in there, I'm going to go through several of the IIS 8 specific features. And of course, I'm working at the booth, so if you have more questions, you can ask me there. We have our different resources for different people we can look at. But also the isnotweb.net website, I don't know if anybody uses it, but a lot of information we post up there is straight from the product team. And then next, questions. Any questions? Question, yes.
What's the lifetime of the web applications developed by Express? If you stop your studio and use the web developer browser, it ends when you stop your studio. That the service stops that.
Okay, so the question is, what's the lifetime of the IIS Express process? So the question is, how long does the website stay active while Visual Studio is active? Is that the question? Yes. So is the question if does IIS Express get exited when you exit Visual Studio? Yes, it does. Yes. Other questions? Yes, question. So the question is, are there any considerations for running Azure App Fabric? Dev Fabric. So I can't speak to the Dev Fabric question, but as an FYI, I mentioned a lot of the partner teams that we work with, and the Azure SDK team actually partnered with us for the entire life of IIS 8 Express going forward. So the IIS, the Azure SDK that is being released actually uses IIS Express as its emulator. The Azure SDK actually is running on top of it. I can't answer the question about the Dev Fabric, but I do know that the SDK is actually using IIS Express. So if you want, I can give you my business card, and you can shoot me a piece of email, and I can actually follow up, because I know the people to follow up with about that. So I had a question here first, and then I'll get yours there. So yes. Yes, so, okay, the question is, does IIS Express host headers? And yes, it certainly does. So, and the next question was, the follow-up to that was, how can I make a change to it? So when I was actually in, let me actually jump over to my my box here, which actually it logged me out of. Oh, there we go. Do I still have application host.config? Yes. So actually, in this particular case, that's actually a host header that's being used there, except in this case, it's going to localhost. There's nothing to stop you from adding like www.katoso.com and then editing your host file. And just as a power tip, that IIS admin command tool that I talked about a little while ago, that will actually add host file entries for you. So if you want to test a website with actually the real URL and get it on your box and make it seem like it's the real thing, you could use that tool if you're an administrator and run it. It'll add it to your host file. But the host file, of course, is also kept under System 32, so you do need to be an admin. If you're not running the full version of IIS, then yes, port 80 is fine. So you just have to worry about a port collision. So good question. Question in the back? So the question is, can you get IIS Express to run under a different user identity? So IIS Express does not do that by default. I have never tried using something like RunAS. Oh, you have? Oh, okay. Well, there you have your answer. So. Yeah, so following up what he was just saying right there is you can pass a site ID or a site name. So then by using RunAS, you could just specify the individual website that you want to do. So RunAS and specify your credentials. And
you just have to specify common app.
That's a good question. That one made me think. Any other questions? Question right here. Oh, two questions. So. And in a situation like that, because you'd be crossing identities, you might also need to be an administrator for that, as just as another consideration.
So
attaching to a process by another user is always an admin thing for security reasons.
Because you could do that with IIS, normal IIS, right? You run your work process, that's the resource you count, admin. But yeah, you're running as admin.
Correct.
Studio. Okay.
Yes. And you had a question there. Does that answer? Okay, question? Could you repeat the question? So is the question, does HTTP.sys stay loaded inside IIS Express? So HTTP.sys is actually a system level driver. Yes, it does. HTTP.sys is always running. So, well, actually, so that makes an interesting question. So HTTP.sys will still be running because it's a low-level driver, but no requests, of course, are coming in to be routed anywhere as far as IIS Express is concerned. So it's not like, as long as IIS Express is shut down, there's nothing actually listening on there, but HTTP.sys is still running. So when you actually invoke IIS Express, it makes the registrations. So what's really interesting, and one of the things, this is a really great question. So one of the things about IIS Express that we really wanted to work with is we always wanted to target the developer scenario, the non-admin scenario. And so we worked with the HTTP.sys team in order to enable binding of a port to localhost. Because originally you had to just be an administrator across the box. And a long time ago with Hosted Web Core, we went to their team and we said, hey, for developers, we want them to be able to go ahead and register a port, and then that way they can do things like debugging and development work and stuff. So HTTP.sys, always running. The port will not necessarily be listened to, but you can do it as a non-admin as long as you're in localhost. That's the exception we made to the driver. Any other questions? Question there. So was the question, can you do SSL? Oh, so the question is, can I do the centralized certificate store with IIS Express? I don't actually know on that, because actually we get that functionality, parts of that functionality through LSASS. That's another good question. Actually, seriously, follow up with me, and it's not something I've ever tried. So yeah, follow up with me afterwards. I'll just give you a card. Just send me a PC email and just remind me and just say we talked. But any other questions? Okay, with that, thanks very much for coming, and have a good rest of the show.